not home-based. So even though these are like broken out, all of these are in-county that we collect for in-county. That does not include our out-of-county.
Understood. Well, and I appreciate that conversation. It doesn't feel like there's an appetite from the board to even consider getting into that stuff. And so I think the safe way to go is just to deal with those that are categorized specifically as home-based businesses that are currently paying more than a general business license, and to look at what we can do to provide some relief there.
How about we say this? Can we start there? I mean, I know you don't want to double up, but you know, either our business license structure is too complicated.
I think it is, but I think looking at it is a much broader conversation. That's
right.
A huge mess. It's much more than just playing with numbers.
Right.
Well, what I would ask is then, Austin Osborne, for the record, whatever direction we get, it looks like we're going to target next fiscal year, which provides time to start in this stage. The last stage, and again, the amount of the effort is taken to pull everything out of the systems to get these numbers so we can at least come to you with some fiscal impacts has been significant. So that part has been resolved. And at this point, then, it looks like this board is wanting to go a certain direction. One is to talk with the VCTC. We can certainly agendize this at a future meeting to then go over what the VCTC had to say. And then we can then ask this board for some more direction. And we now have numbers that we can provide the board for you to take a look at on your own and prepare for a future workshop and then decide, you know, where do you want to go in these categories. So we'd be happy to do that if this is what this board would like to do, but it'll be up to you.
So let me just clarify one more time. There is no possible way to enact this stuff for home-based business licenses only by our next Board of Commissioners meeting, right? Because there's... Okay, so no matter what, we're looking at next fiscal year. Okay. I think what you said is okay by me, and I'm okay moving in that direction.
I mean, I guess my question would be this. Is the right next step another workshop? Do we need to discuss in general terms, or can we move towards an agenda item that's a potential action that actually does something?
I would say, personally, I would say go to the VCTC with we're dropping at 75%, 50%, and then that way you can come back to this group and basically just... I don't think anybody here has heartburn with 50 or 75% off. So I think, you know, I would just pick a number, go to the VCTC, you know, and then that way you can just come back to us and
sure.
Whatever number you feel is going to
make
be sufficient.
And make a proposal.
Make a proposal, and I think we're good.
But there's some steps in between, which is if we're going to take action on it, business impact needs to be done or propose new ordinance.
Right, but at least we're moving forward. We're right. Not, you know...
So is that sufficiently clear as a path forward, Austin?
It appears to be, and I think at this point then what we'll do, we'll visit with the VCTC, and then at that point we'll put a workshop back together. We can do a workshop and structure it with action, directing staff to, and then we can put a list of things. And that gives you an idea, okay, you like A, B, and D, but you don't like C, E, and F. And then we can then proceed forward very clearly on those. And even for the next fiscal year, and if that's home base and in county, whatever it is, we can structure that accordingly. Let this board take specific action on specific direction.
Okay,
does that work for you?
Yeah, that's totally fine. I think that's more complicated than where we're at, and I think where we're at is home base businesses. I don't think there's going to be a B, C, D, or E. I mean, maybe the amount changes on, but let's limit it to just that. Run it by the VCTC, bring it back, and we can discuss. And if we need, if the dollar amount goes up or down, that's fine. But we're not talking about multiple options of other stuff to do, right? Like really focused on. Let's start with 75% on the home-based business licenses. Let's use that as our number, and off we go.
So I'm hearing 75% on home-based businesses. We're not going to analyze anything other further.
That's correct.
Please.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That works for me.
Yeah. And then just for clarity's sake, it's probably not proper for me to go talk about this at the VCTC, seeing as Jay sits on that board. And so we'll let staff present. Is that the proper way to do it?
Well, you're appearing as a member of the county board, and you'll be acting as a member of the BCTC board.
Yeah, did we budget for a hat rack?
That's what we'll say at every party we go to. Oh, no, I'm here as a fire commissioner, and you're here as a sewer commissioner, so we can talk.
Yeah, is that right? I mean, right?
I'm not real comfortable with that idea. No. Maybe it'd be best for the staff.
I think that's the best way to do it, to keep it clean. So, okay.
With the understanding that whoever goes there, you know, this was directed by Commissioner Mitchell, so that, you know,
it's fine.
People know who the
who to throw the tomatoes at.
No.
Since this is moving forward to the next fiscal year, I'm speaking for Ashley. We're gone next week at a conference, so if we could push this to the next VCTC meeting, that would be very helpful if you want us to appear.
Why doesn't the county manager just show up? You have nothing to do, right?
He can show up. He can go.
You all right with that, Austin?
It's up to you. We'll do whatever the board wants to do.
I would like to see this move forward quickly. I understand where Commissioner Mitchell's coming from. I'd rather, I don't want to push things out because then it's going to get lost. And, you know, so I don't think you need to be there.
Very good. Perfect.
I don't want to volunteer Pete, but I'm sure Pete and Austin can go over there.
They can skip into that.
Yeah. Make it happen. But Austin, you're all right with that, right?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right.
And I just want to thank my fellow commissioners and everyone who's participated. I didn't realize this would be as messy sausage as I thought it was, as it ended up being.
Yeah, I'm going to echo those sentiments. Thank you. I know there's been a lot of work put forward. Pete, Ashley, everybody else on staff, Jennifer, Austin. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Commissioner Mitchell, thank you for bringing this up. I think it's, like I said, a good gesture for the community. So thank you. Moving on to item number 32, discussion for possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following and other properly related matters: AB 63, the I-80 Safety Corridor, SB 81, Regional Orderly Growth, AB 143, Land Transfer Bill, AB 47, and other OHV-related bills, SB 432, Post-Abatement Tax Redistribution, SB 226, Prevailing Wage, and any legislative BDR bill resolution or other action of the legislature or government of the state of Nevada causing SB 1 or other post-tax abatement revenues from Tesla or other tax-abated or non-tax-abated companies to be canceled, diverted away from Story County, redistributed, postponed, or extended, and other properly related matters.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record, county manager. At this point, roughly two-thirds of the bills in Carson City have been died, and the floor action is taken. So at this point now, the bills are switching houses that did make it, and so we're monitoring and looking at these. So AB 63, the I-80 bill, we know that died. At the same time, there is some movement. We're keeping an eye on it to see if that language is going to get, you know, reintroduced into some other bill by somebody. It could happen. It has not happened at this point. Senate Bill 81, we know this is the regional discussion bill. That one did pass the Senate, as we're aware, with the floor. And I'm hearing some rumor down there that there could be some amendments added to that, but I'm not certain of that at this point. And our team, including our lobbyists, myself, and Commissioner Mitchell, have been very clear with ourselves and with other folks that this board is very much against SB 81. AB 143, the hearing on their land bill, that one had a hearing last night, and Commissioner Mitchell, myself, and our lobbyists, as well as Keith Loomis and Jana Seddon, testified and gave a presentation with Assemblyman O'Neill, who's technically sponsoring the bill on behalf of Story County. It moved through pretty smoothly. There's some questions on maybe some ironing out some things as far as how it applies to other counties and areas, but so far it's looking pretty good and on its way, hopefully, to passing a committee on the second house. AB 47, off-highway vehicles, we're still monitoring and keeping an eye on that. It appears to still be
local control is prevailing as that moves along. I will let you know we're still monitoring. We're learning a little bit more about Senate Bill 226 as a prevailing wage bill. It's $100,000 projects or more prevailing wage. We're already in that environment. There's some other amendments that are happening to that right now that NACO and our team are looking at to see how much that might impact the county, if at all. I don't have anything further on that one, but at the next meeting, we'll probably know some more. And then Senate Bill 432, the regional revenue sharing bill, Tesla revenue sharing bill, it is still dead, of course, but we're keeping an eye on that. And I just want to remind us and the public of the efforts we're making with RCG Economics, with our lobbyist team, and looking at different ways to create data and papers and education for the public and for people in the region, as well as the legislators now and for the next 2 years, on our housing needs and our economic situation and our revenues and our incomes and our spending. So we will continue proceeding accordingly. At this point, SB 81 is and Assembly Bill 143 are the live bills here that we've been watching very closely. I'm going to ask for board direction on those individually. Do you want to stay course or have any amendments? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Austin. So as I understand it, are there any specific bills that you would like direction on at this point?
I'd like to start with Senate Bill 81. Currently, this board has wanted to oppose that bill in all forms and fashions.
Great. So let's start with SB 81. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any?
I don't. Thank you. I'll
defer. So position continues to stay the same?
Yes, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
There was some conversation or suggestion that there might be a way, and I think we talked about this a little bit, there might be a way to get some of the aims of our Bill 63 somehow included into this. I don't know if it's worth hanging our hopes on.
Okay. So are you still comfortable with maintaining full opposition on SB 81?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. As am I. Is there any public comment regarding SB 81 and a possible difference in position from the public? Not seeing any. Austin, what's the next one you want specific direction on?
And somewhat since Commissioner Mitchell brought up 63, I just want to let you know what we happened to run into Ms. Larkin from NDOT yesterday, and she's aware that 63 died. But at the same time, she said that the manner that we put that bill through, even through its morphing, had an impact. And I think that really was what this board wanted at the time, was they wanted that bill to make an impact, probably even more so than pass. And passing was obviously, you know, something we wanted. But she said, you know, the speed limit, they've reduced that. She said signage is absolutely next on our itinerary for that stretch. And now we're now hearing pretty common language from MnDOT now that they are looking at the environmental assessment, moving forward on getting those things straightened out. I think regardless of SP's or AB 63's fate, it did what this board wanted it to do. And people are paying attention to it, and we have a governor and legislators in a region that are now paying attention to that stretch of highway. And I just want to make that part of this conversation that I think the work that was done behind the scenes with our lobbyist team and ourselves, and the work with NDOT, and currently the way NDOT is acting with under the leadership of Ms. Larkin, that there's some positive things happening because of this endeavor.
All right, thank you.
And then I'll go next to Assembly Bill 143, our lands bill.
Yes.
I would ask that we continue to support that, being that it is our bill.
Okay.
Should there be any discussion about some of the kind of the committee comments and see if there's any issues with PopCap stuff, or should we?
Yeah,
I know it's hypothetical at this point, but
yeah, Austin Osborne for the record, I'd be happy to. There's some more discussion that's going to happen between now and the next hearing on that. The committee heard it, they support it. There's no issues there. They have some questions about how that bill could affect certain other counties that have their own things going on, whether they're lands bills or otherwise. Mr. Loomis explained a lot of very complex questions, too, as far as, you know, how this is structured. And then, you know, the committee took its view on how that might apply to fill-in-the-blank place. I think between now and then there will be some discussions that will happen with the committee and maybe certain folks in the state to iron out anything that might be of issue, and then they'll bring that forward. Is that...
Yeah, I guess the question is, the concern is that these legislators don't want it twisted and used for something other than its original purpose in a different place. And that's a valid concern, you know, that some other county might try to use it to sneak through some different type of land transfer that, you know. And I think the conversation showed with legal at the legislature that the wording was solid in the bill, that it specifically defined the situations where it could be used, but there may still be some concern from legislators. And so they were looking at, well, what's the time frame on this? Does it make sense? It's been amended a little bit to where it would take effect in October, and then it would sunset next year, which gives us, you know, 6-9 months to get the work done that we need to get done. And I guess the specific question I have is, you know, one of the things that was brought up was, would we be open to putting a population cap on it that would only make it apply to small counties? And I don't know if that's something we need to take a position on, because it's just a hypothetical at this point, but I just thought it would be worth. I don't think it makes any difference for us as to whether it gets done what we need to get done here in our county, whether that's part of it or not. I don't know if that's something that would be necessary to get the support that it needs, or whether it will go regardless. But our people are working on it. There are conversations happening. There's some strategy, I think, on the back end to make sure it's acceptable to the legislators that will need to vote for it.
I think that I heard a little bit of a request in that, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I think the request for direction that I would seek wouldn't deal with that. With the pop caps, simply, I think the folks in Carson City, the committee, will know kind of what to explore and what to look at, and they know their own districts. And I would want to make sure that we don't say, okay, let's make a certain number in there, and then it excludes a county that otherwise might support this and now maybe not support it. But I would be happy to, after we'll hear shortly, I'm sure, from committee members or otherwise, anything that might resolve, and bring that back to this board to make any adjusted motion. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable. I mean, if I understand you correctly, I mean, if we need to put a pop cap in to help this thing move, let's do it. If not.
Yeah, but the nuance that Austin is just bringing in is that Washoe County made a friendly amendment early on in the process because they said, we want a little time to look and see if this situation may apply to us as well. And we don't know at this point if this might affect them or not. And we don't want to cut them out of it if it is something that they feel would be helpful for them without their, you know, say-so on it. And so I think the idea for us is not to take any position on anything like that at this point, but if something develops, then we can bring it back and say, yeah, we're supportive of that, or no, we're not supportive of that. Leave that open-ended at this point.
Yeah, like sleeping dogs lie and see what happens.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we'll let our professionals work behind the scenes and work through that.
Okay, is there any other comment regarding this? No? Is there any public comment regarding this this bill? Nope, all right, you wanna move forward?
That'd be great.
Yep, let's do it.
AB 47, are you comfortable proceeding forward as you have, supporting an EOHV bill that provides local control?
Yep. Any public comment regarding the EOHV bill? All right.
And I'm not seeking any direction at this point on SB 226. There's more to be learned.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Fantastic. So I'm assuming you want a motion.
That would be great. And of course, I guess I'll just add for the record, you're continuing to oppose any kind of bill that would take our money. And yes, thank you for that section.
Surprisingly, yeah. Austin.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff and lobbyists to represent Story County on each bill as discussed and to proceed on other bills as directed.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Motion passes unanimously.
He knew it was coming.
Yeah. I'm a mind reader today. Moving right along to item number 33, this discussion for possible action. To authorize the county manager to approve and sign a proposal from Loomis & Associates for a geophysical investigation to assess the subsurface conditions at the ball field. This investigation will consist of ground-penetrating radar and seismic refraction to determine the extent and possible cause of the sinkholes. Sinkhole, right?
That's what the assessment's for.
Okay. So the sinkholes, in order to make recommendations for possible mitigation or repair, the proposal is for $7,245, and any additional on-call services will be billed on a time and materials basis not to exceed $5,000 for any additional services called for by staff. Jason, where's Vicky?
Mr. Chairman, before we dive into the important and serious part of this, I think out of an abundance of caution, I just should make a disclosure that I have joined a softball team, and that any decision that is made on this may affect me as much or possibly even more than other members of the community. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you for that. Jason, where's Vicky? You're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Mike Northen, Operations Projects Mike. Coordinator, in for Director Wiersbicki.
Sorry, Mike. Thought it was Jason.
No worries. Jason had to run off to a meeting.
All right.
As the board's aware, we do have a single at this moment, singular sinkhole, in the baseball field. In looking at historical images, photographs, this particular sinkhole is in the vicinity of the Ophir Mine main shaft. This area has had sinkholes before in the past, apparently out in Wright Field and a couple other areas. We do have an immediate mitigation plan that does deal with what we can see from the surface, but the thinking is if we could gain some data on the subsurface conditions, this could drive the design and the extents of the repair, could possibly indicate areas to watch for possible future sinkholes or possibly more immediate concerns. Given the occupancy rate of this field and the adjacent facilities, we think it would be prudent to get a picture of the size and extents of any subsurface voids or discontinuities which could cause us a problem. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions. I just want to say that I think this is probably the most Virginia City item we have ever considered.
Yeah, right? At least it's only one hole for now. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell moved to authorize the county manager to sign a proposal from Loomis & Associates for a geophysical investigation to assess the subsurface conditions at the ball field and the public swimming pool. This investigation will consist of ground-penetrating radar and seismic refraction to determine the extent and possible cause of the sinkholes in order to make recommendations for a possible mitigation or repair. The proposal is for $7,245 and for on-call services at time and material rates.
Second.
All right, motion and a second. All those in favor,
signify
by saying aye.
Wow. Aye.
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 I am hungry. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number Thank you, Mike. Moving on to item number 34, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-677, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed store.